welcome to the Badass Breastfeeding Podcast. This is Diane, your lactation consultant.
And I'm Abby, the Badass Breastfeeder. And today's episode is brought to you by Similre Breast Pumps. They make those pumps that are tiny as a sticky note or fully adjustable pumps with 85 setting combinations. Either way, you are in total control of your pumping journey. And today's episode is brought to you by Mama's Liquid Love Breast Milk Jewelry. Mamas all around the world mail Mama's Liquid Love their inclusions, and through a unique mechanical and chemical process, they convert your inclusions into a beautifully crafted keepsake. And we will hear more about that later, but you can head to badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com and check out our sponsor page. See if you can give them any of your business because they make this podcast possible. And while you're there, scroll down, enter your email address, and we'll send you episodes straight to your inbox every week. And you can also check our merch page there, which has got a lot of really fun stuff. If you have any events coming up. And we are on Patreon, and we would love to see you there. You can head to the link, the link at the top of the show notes. Under this episode, wherever you're listening from, it's weird because the link is at the top. The show notes are under the episode. It's like top and under. Just open the show notes. There'll be a link there and you can check out all the different tiers. We have mini podcasts. We have ad-free episodes. We have Revolution Parenting episodes. We have Zoom hangouts every month where we get to talk and get advice or vent or whatever with each other. And we have a lot of things. So check it out there. And we would love to see you there. And we are still hosting that ongoing giveaway for people who leave reviews around the internet, like iTunes or Spotify or something like that. Whether it's written review or stars or anything like that, take a screenshot of the review that you left and send it to badassbreastfeedingpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll send you a goodie bag of thank you for nursing in public cards and stickers, and Diane stuffs the bag with lots of fun things. She's like the sticker queen.
I am the sticker queen. I got new ones this week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. But thank you to everybody who has already done it.
That's true. Yeah. Huge thank you. We've really sent out a ton of goodie bags.
We have sent out a ton of goodie bags.
So don't think it's just like a thing like, oh, I don't know if they're really doing that. We really are. People are getting their goodie bags and they're fun. So you can get one too.
So fun.
And yeah, now Diane has our review of the week.
I do. I have so appreciated this podcast. I've been breastfeeding just over 6 months and I've been listening to your podcast for the last month. I was worried that my supply dropped due to a slight reduction in pumped milk at work and less breast fullness than before. But you have helped me to understand the changes that you go through in breastfeeding as the baby grows. My baby is feeding very well and I'm not worried. Abby and Diane are very supportive. I love that because your body does change. Right?
It really
like
does.
Things
yeah.
change and you just don't know. Like sometimes you go, oh my God, I had somebody ask me this the other day. She was like, all right, I don't wake up engorged anymore. I was like, oh my God, am I losing my milk supply? And I'm like, and the baby's like 4 months old. I'm like, no, you're not supposed to wake up engorged like that anymore. It's totally normal that you don't feel that fullness anymore. But you freak out because you get so used to feeling full or you get so used to seeing a specific amount when you're pumping and like, you just don't know. And it just,
yeah, I think like also because your breasts go through such changes, like they've been fuller than they were before during pregnancy. And then they're, you know, they can become engorged when you're breastfeeding. And then when all of that kind of just starts to calm, maybe they're like not as full as they used to be because your body just does permanently change during all of mm-hmm. these changes. And then you're like, oh my God, it's just empty. Look, there's nothing in there. It's just sagging down like an empty balloon. There's plenty of stuff in there.
There's plenty of milk. So I'm so glad that you found some relief listening to the podcast with that. That makes me feel better. It's working.
I know.
What we're doing
is awesome.
Working. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, just knowing what's going on. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. That's the thing of like just having information. That's the one thing that changes everything.
It's so helpful. And that's one of the reasons why we started this podcast, so that you all would have the information and you would all feel better about what you're doing.
Yeah.
So thank you for sending that in. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Love
it. Yes. And now we're going to talk about when other people are taking care of your baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes that's hard enough to do, right? It's hard enough to leave your baby.
Yeah.
And then you got to worry about, like, are they going to feed them right? Are they going to know their cues? Are they going to...
Right. Yeah. And I know you're the one who came up with the idea for this episode, and I'm sure you had something in your mind. So, because people leave their babies for a few hours with a babysitter, maybe a whole day if they go to work, sometimes mm-hmm. several days if they're going on a trip. And these are all maybe have different levels of preparation or, you know, things that you want to make sure your caregiver knows. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it depends on who it is. Because sometimes it's like, if it's like your mom, then you have to be worried, not worried, but... Or your mom or mother-in-law or, you know, like a relative or something, then it's like you feel more comfortable because you know that they're with, you know, somebody that's going to love them like you do. But at the same time, you have to wonder, like, are they going to...
Are they just going to do whatever they want to do?
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't quite know how to put that. Yeah. I have somebody that went away recently and the baby stayed with her mom. And she's a listener, so she might even hear this. But so I hope she doesn't mind if I share it because it's perfect timing for this.
Yeah.
But they went away for a couple of days, and her mother and her baby are like great together. Her mother watches the baby a couple of days during the week. Like her mother adores this baby. The baby adores her mother. It's perfect. But she's like, he can't even like breathe loud without her being right there every second.
Oh, yeah.
So she's like, it's taken us time to even like get used to her not being here after they went on their trip, you know?
Oh.
Because she goes, I had to like redo everything again because, you know, because he just behaves differently with her. And it is hard because even when they do like, even when it's somebody that you know is going to take good care of your baby, are they going to overfeed them? Are they going to just hold them all the time for naps when maybe that's not something you do? Are they going to know exactly when to feed them? Are they going to recognize their cues? There's so many concerns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then sometimes
you want that more than you want the other end.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause sometimes they're, absolutely. Holy cow.
Not that anyone has to worry about that. I don't know. You know, that's not. You wouldn't leave your child with somebody who would not pay attention to your child, but.
Right. Yeah. That's not going to happen. But it is really hard to know, like, and it's hard to say anything, especially at least that was the way it was for me. It's hard to say something to your own mother because you kind of feel like, well, they raised their kids. Everything worked out fine. They must know what to do. But, you know, you leave them with your parents.
And then you just do things your own way. And then a lot of times when it's your own family, they do feel like they can just push that boundary.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, well, you know, it's fine if I do this. It's, you know, it's like that whole episode that we did on, I don't even know what we did, where we were talking about families and the boundaries, creating boundaries with families or something.
Mm-hmm.
They just, sometimes people just don't care about your boundaries, or they don't realize that how disrespectful it is or how that feels to the other person. You know, they're just like, oh gosh, get over it.
Yeah. That's kind of how my mother is. She's like, get over it. It's fine. What are you worried about?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Everything's fine. God, you worry too much.
Yeah. And you have every right to worry. It's your baby. You can worry all you want to.
Right.
I mean, and I know I've told this story on the podcast before too, that my twins, their first food was a Fig Newton because that's what my mother chose to give them when I went to the bathroom and left them for 30 seconds while I peed.
Oh,
she snuck them a Fig Newton. And I remember being like, they don't even have teeth yet, Mom. You can't give them Fig Newton. What are you doing? And that was like their first food. And she was like, hilarious. Oh, they had a cookie. They loved it. like they said to her, "Grandma, can I have a cookie?" They were still in their car seats. They didn't have teeth yet.
They were.
I don't think they were even like, I don't even think they were 6 months.
Yeah. No, that's so common. I mean, that's just so common. It's like, well, why? Why can't I just give them this little thing of mashed potatoes? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? What are you worried about?
I remember we went out to dinner when Nathan, my firstborn, was like 6 months old. We went out to dinner and we left him with my parents and we left a bottle with him, which was rare because Nathan rarely got bottles. So my mother gave him his bottle and she said he like sucked it down and he was again like 6 months old. And she goes, he sucked it down and I was going to put some regular milk in there to give him something else. But your father told me you would have a fit if I did that. I'm like, yes, I would have had a fit if you did that. You can't do that. And I didn't know at the time. I was just like, no, you can't. No. But I don't know, like, what I know now. I didn't know that.
Right, right, right.
But I was like, what? No way.
Yeah.
I was like, he's fine. But that's one of the things that happens. Overfeeding is really, really common. And that was one of the things I definitely wanted to talk about, was that overfeeding is so common, regardless of who is watching your baby. And one of the reasons is because they don't know their cues like you do. They could spend every single day with them, but research shows us, and I did research on this actually when I did a class for like returning to work, and we talked about like how when other people give bottles to your baby, research shows that when a mother gives a bottle to the baby, when the breastfeeding parent gives a bottle to the baby doesn't overeat. But when other people give the bottle to the babies overeat because they don't know the cues like the parent does. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when your baby's done, you know how much your baby should be having, you know, what's right, what's not right. A lot of times people say, well, that seemed like a lot. My baby got like that email that we received not that long ago from a parent whose baby was getting like, I don't know how many ounces before noon or something.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
it
yeah.
was like, you know, and they're like, it doesn't seem right. No, you know, it's not right.
Yeah.
You know when it's not right. And you leave a certain amount and then they go through it really quickly, really easily. And they're like, well, the baby's fussy. Well, yeah, sometimes the babies are just fussy, especially when they're away from their parent, because that is a really common thing. When babies are away from their parents, they're not going to be the same.
No, they're not.
Especially if they're not used to being away from you. And I don't want anybody to think that they can never leave their baby, because you absolutely can. Your baby's going to be fine. But they do definitely, you know, it's an adjustment for them.
Yeah.
But when you first return to work, it's in those first, like, that's when I get the most messages about stuff like this. In the first like week or so that somebody goes back to work, that they're getting like, oh, the daycare needs more milk, or I'm only pumping so much and they need more. And, you know, it's just so frustrating for families, for parents, to feel like they're trying to keep up with the need and with the demand, and they're having a hard time keeping up with the demand because the baby's getting too much. One of the things that I tell people, I told somebody this the other day, is that babies take about 24 to 27 ounces in a day. So if they're away from you for 8 hours, they're probably not going to take more than 8 to 10 ounces in that 8 hour period of time. They shouldn't be taking 15 ounces in 4 hours, because they're never going to do that with you. Try to think about it that way. Like, they're never going to do that with you. They're not going to take 5-6 ounces at a time when they're feeding with you.
Right. Yeah.
So why would they do that when they're not with you?
Yeah. And then people will say like, well, the baby just kept drinking it, so they must have needed it. When they don't, I mean, that's especially with a daycare, when they have so many babies, they just want the babies to like feed to sleep. And it's really hard for them to like hold 10 babies who are fussing
Right. Exactly. If it's like a grandparent or something, show them how to use like a carrier so that the baby will be more calm. You know, give them some kind of tips and things to do with the baby to calm the baby down other than just feeding, because sometimes they just don't know what else to do with a baby that's fussier other than just feed them.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if daycares do like carriers or
I don't know, but they
like
should.
That.
They should have they should. One on the front and one on the back and then just rotate.
Exactly. That would be amazing. If somebody has a daycare that does that, let us know, because that's like a huge shout out to them. That would be amazing.
I mean, it seems like it would be easier for them.
You would think, right?
Because their good babies would just be quieter. That's what everybody wants, is a quieter baby. I mean,
everybody's goal is to have a baby.
Everybody's
that's
goal
quiet.
In life is to have a quieter baby. Yeah.
One of the other things you can do too is to definitely look through, because I know that most daycares give like either share a report with you or whatever. Maybe it's like online or an app or something where they can see like where your baby's fed and what your baby's done and when they changed them and all of that stuff. Make sure you're looking through all of that. I actually had a client one time who they kept saying that the baby didn't have enough milk. The baby didn't have enough milk. The baby was fussy. And she goes, and I looked and they hadn't changed her diaper in like hours. So it was like, that's probably why she was fussy, not because she needed more milk. So it's like, make sure you're looking at that stuff too, to know, you know, before you start going, oh my gosh, the baby definitely needs more milk there. But if the baby's getting, if you feed the baby before you leave, this is like key, feed the baby before you leave. If you can feed the baby right at the daycare, that's fantastic. But if you can't, feed the baby before you leave the baby, before you leave the house, and then they won't need another bottle for like 3 hours. So they'll only need, babies really will only need a couple of bottles while you're gone, if you're gone for an 8-hour period of time. So
yeah, they don't need to be stuffed to the brim.
No,
also,
they don't need to eat every 2 hours.
Like
4 ounces every 2 hours or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's just too much. It's not necessary.
Mm-mm. No. And discussing with family members. Oh, maybe we should. I was going to talk about paced feeding, but maybe we should take our break first and then we can talk about paced feeding.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Simulre Breast Pumps. Simulre Breast Pumps wants you to have control of your pumping journey. With a continuous focus on research and development and a team comprised of CLCs, Simulre Breast Pumps strives to offer pumps for every lifestyle. From ultra-tiny pumps as small as a sticky note to fully adjustable pumps with 85 setting combinations, you're in control of your pumping journey. With resources like virtual breast shield sizing consults in English and Spanish, and an exclusive Get the Right Fit program that offers a third set of breast shields for free, Simulre gives you vital tools for a successful journey. A safe choice for everyone, all Simulre pump parts and storage bags are phthalate and BPA free. Better yet, Simulre breast pumps can be personalized with a fun pump skin decal. And they just launched their S7, which is very exciting, and we will be doing a giveaway in April, should be coming up very shortly as you're listening to this episode. And so watch for that on the Badass Breastfeeder channel on Instagram and Facebook. And you can see their entire pump family at Simulre Breast Pumps. That's Simulre breastpumps.com. And you can use code BADASS for 15% off of your order. And today's episode is brought to you by Mama's Liquid Love Breast Milk Jewelry. Mama's Liquid Love is a way to hold on to memories, mark milestones, and show the people you love that they mean the world to you. Moms all around the world mail Mama's Liquid Love their inclusions, and through a unique chemical and mechanical process, they convert your inclusions into a beautifully crafted keepsake. Mama's Liquid Love has created over 25,000 pieces in the past 10 years for moms around the globe, so you can trust them with your liquid gold. Mama's Liquid Love specializes in high quality, expertly crafted DNA keepsakes made from breast milk, hair, ashes, placenta, umbilical cord, and flowers. Your breastfeeding journey will end someday, but you can keep this keepsake forever. You'll find 150 pieces to choose from on mamasliquidlove.com. That's MAMMASLIQUIDLOVE.com. And you can use code BADASS for 10% off of your purchase. And all of our sponsors and the promo codes can be found at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com on the sponsor page. You can also find the Similary direct link and the code in the show notes under this episode, wherever you're listening from. And over at badassbreastfeedingpodcast.com, you'll also find all of our other episodes, our resources page of all of our favorite resources, and information about scheduling your very own one-on-one online lactation consultation with Diane.
Yes. Okay, so paced feeding, what is it?
I love paced feeding.
I know. I know it. We have videos somewhere of Abby doing the paced feeding. But feeding
I know.
Is important.
I have it. I'll send it to you right now so you can put it in the show notes. Or okay. I can put it in the show notes. I can do it. I can do that. I suppose I can do that. Diane's in charge of the show notes usually, but.
Yeah, hopefully somebody's reading them. So paced feeding is really important because what it does, the basis of paced feeding is it slows your baby down. And that's important for lots of reasons. One, it's important because they're not eating too quickly and they're not taking in, you know, several ounces of milk really, really fast. Babies should be paced so that it's taking them as much time as it takes them to breastfeed as it does to bottle feed. So we want them to be slowed down. Pace feeding will also help them from getting too much gas, from getting too uncomfortable, because if they're gulping milk down, it's going to bring in more air to them. It also keeps them from doing that. It helps you bond better with the baby. Because when you're doing pace feedings, you have to like watch the baby. You have to like be making eye contact with the baby. You have to be watching their cues, you know, seeing if they look like they're stressed out, if they look like they're getting too much, if they look like they're uncomfortable. That is,
you're like literally sitting on the edge of a couch or something with the baby on your lap, sitting up. Like you're sitting up. Even a tiny baby that can't hold their head up, you can still do paced feeding. You're holding their head up. You're helping them with the bottle. You're not like laying back on the couch with the baby laid back on the flat on their back and then just dozing off or zoning out into the ceiling. Like you are actively engaged.
Yes.
In the process.
That's a great way to put it. You're actively engaged in the process. And that is perfect because if somebody says that they want to be able to bond with your baby through feeding, then this is the way to do it. You know how people always say, oh, I want to feed the baby. I want to be able to bond with the baby and feed the baby. Well, then they have to do paced bottle feeding because just sticking a bottle in a baby's mouth while they're in the crook of your arm isn't bonding. Mm-hmm. So they have to pace feed them. Because that is a better way to feed them, for one thing, and then they can interact with the baby at the same time, which is bonding. So sitting them straight up, like Abby was saying, you sit them up, you're holding the bottle horizontally instead of vertically where it's just draining into their mouth. You're holding the bottle horizontally, you're letting them take a couple of sucks of the bottle, and then you're taking the bottle out, you're resting it on their lip. Just to kind of like give them a minute to swallow, to kind of register that they're eating, let them accept the bottle back into their mouth again, take a few more sucks, take the bottle out. We're only filling the bottle nipple like halfway. And that's when people go, oh, but isn't the baby getting more air this way? Not in the grand scheme of things. No, they're not. It's fine. But this is how they should be feeding. Did I leave anything out with the paced feeding?
Well, so you're holding it horizontal and you're letting what you said is you're not filling the whole entire nipple with the milk. You're kind of letting the surface of the milk is like horizontal to the bottle nipple. I don't know if that makes any sense. Anyway, you're holding the bottle horizontal. And then you're going to tip the bottle down every once in a while, like every couple minutes, tip the bottle down, which means drain the nipple of the milk and let the baby just kind of suck on the nipple. Again, this is where people freak out. It does not matter. We all take air in when we eat. It's no different for a baby. It comes out. The whole air in the bottle thing, that's a marketing tool from bottle companies. Like, the baby gets less air. That's not a thing to worry about. That was how they tried to sell bottles. And then, so you let them, you know, do that for a little while. And then you're basically just watching for them to kind of slow down a little. When they slow down the sucking, they're not sucking so hard. Maybe their hands that were clenched into a fist have kind of softened a little. And yeah. Then you'll know they're so much getting better. Full.
Yeah, it's so much better. The other thing to remember is that babies usually... I'm trying to think of the age. Like, it depends on how old your baby is when you leave them to know how much milk to leave for a baby. But babies never take, usually do not take, I should say, with breastfeeding, with breast milk, more than 4 ounces. Even if they're like 9 months old, they're not going to take more than like 4 ounces. And that's because everything that's in the milk, everything that your baby needs is in the milk. They don't need more volume. Because everything is concentrated in the milk. So with formula, you do have to give more volume because formula doesn't change the way breast milk does. Formula stays stagnant. So you have to keep adding more so that baby gets more of what they need as they're growing. But it's not like that for breastfeeding. Breast milk is different. So you do not need to continue to offer more and more and more and more volume. So even as your baby grows, they're still not going to need a little bit more. So you're going to definitely need to educate somebody about that because that is something that people that aren't familiar with breastfed babies, something that they don't realize is that they don't need more volume of milk. So if your baby is young when you start back to work, say you're going back to work or say you have to leave your baby and they're only a few weeks old, they're not going to take 4 ounces of milk if they're only a few weeks old. They're going to take like 2 to 3, and that should be about it. They're not going to take 4 ounces until they're maybe like 3 months old, and then they might start taking around 4 ounces. But really being very definitive about how much you're leaving and making sure that you're not leaving too much milk so that they just go through it all. Because that is definitely the problem with having your baby overfed. Because people have asked about this before. I've been like, well, what's the problem with overfeeding? Problem is, if they're being overfed during the day, they're not going to eat well when they're with you. And that's going to cause a milk supply problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're also, it's very hard for, can be, it can be, unless you have an oversupply, it can be very hard for you to keep up if the baby's eating several ounces. If they're eating like 6 ounces per bottle, every bottle that you're, when you're gone and they're taking like 18, 20 ounces while you're gone, you're keeping up with that. That's a lot of milk to try to keep up with.
That's what we hear so often is like, people are like, I don't think I can keep up with my baby.
Yeah.
Because the baby's being overfed, but we automatically think that it's us not producing enough milk.
Right.
And you're not, you don't produce endless milk. I mean, you produce enough milk for your baby, surely enough, more than enough. But when you're pumping that milk and then your daycare is just using that all in one day, like, it doesn't, that's not you not being able to keep up. That's them feeding the baby way too much milk.
Yeah, it's too much. It's way too much.
It's just like so common. It's so common. It's unbelievable.
See if you can arrange the feedings, and maybe, you know, you might have to just tell them, whoever's watching your baby, what time to feed the baby. And if you can arrange it so that they're not giving a bottle within like an hour to an hour and a half of you picking up the baby, so that way you can just feed the baby right away, that would work out perfect. And that way, that's less milk that you have to leave.
Yeah, this should be timed really carefully. Like, they're not giving the bottle like as soon as you leave in the morning, because you already nursed the baby. So then the baby's going to be full for a while. 3 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you need a couple hours. The baby doesn't need to be fed within a couple hours of you picking them up because you're about to come.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, and I would say like leave bottles with exactly the amount you want your baby to be fed, whether it's 2 ounces, 3 ounces, 4 ounces, not more than that, mm-mm, with a time written on the bottle. Like this bottle is for 10:30 a.m. and this bottle is for 1:30 or whatever.
The other thing you can do too is that bottles don't have to be the same amount. You could do like, say, 4 ounces for one bottle for the first bottle, and then do like, if they want to feed the bottle, if they say, oh, but then the baby's hungry 2 hours later, then give them just 2 ounces. It doesn't have to be a full 4 ounces again, yeah, on top of what they just took. So it really does. We're kind of trying to read the baby a little bit. We're trying to read cues. And again, when babies are first, and we're talking about like situation, like if you're returning to work, babies need to adapt to their new environment too. This is new for them. Just like it's an adjustment for you when you go back to work, it's an adjustment for babies too. So they're going to be out of their element. They're not used to where they're being. There's a lot going on around them, especially if it's a daycare situation. There's a lot happening around them. So it's overstimulating and they're getting used to the people that are taking care of them. This is an adjustment. So when they say, oh, the baby's, you know, was fussy and wasn't settled, we think we need more milk. Like it might just be a situation where the baby just needs to adapt to their environment. And that's up to the daycare providers to make sure that your baby is adapting. That's not for you to do. You can't do that.
Right. And your baby might be waking up at night more too.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be happening too.
As they're like missing you and wanting to be with you and also overstimulated and out of sorts.
Yeah. Some babies reverse cycle and they don't eat much when they're without their parent. And then they just eat more when they're with their parent. And I know that sounds terrible because you're trying to adapt to like...
It sounds awful.
Like you're trying to adapt to a work life now, which is really hard. I mean...
I just still cannot even believe people do this.
It is really hard.
I mean, that's just so unbelievably organized, first of all.
Oh, like
you probably feel like you don't have your shit together, like because you're working and everything seems chaos, but boy, oh boy, you are the queen of having your shit together. If you are like working and pumping and making all this work, it feels awful because it is, because you should have more time off. You should have more support. You should have all of that, but just congratulate yourself once in a while because that's incredible.
Do you know how many times I'll hear from a parent, like, I feel like I'm not a good employee. I'm not a good mom. I'm not, you know, like you just so feel so caught in between everything.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you're at work, but you're barely there. You know what I mean? Like your head isn't really in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're worried about your baby. And if they have those little... Sometimes daycares have those little cameras where you can watch the babies on there.
Yeah.
And then you're doing that half the day. But then you go home and you don't have that much time with your baby because you're trying to keep them on a regular routine. You're exhausted. Yeah. They're exhausted. Like it's just so hard. It is so hard. So if you're doing it, definitely be kind to yourself.
Yeah. And also, it's another time to remember that this is not permanent. This is not just how things are from now on. Like this is a short period of time where you're working this hard because you want your baby to have breast milk. And then at some point soon, you know, within the year, you're going to be able to stop pumping. You're going to be able to just really not have to keep up with so many details.
Yeah, it is really hard. And if if it's daycare that's watching your baby, you can definitely, you know, make sure that you're saying something. If it's a family member, it's okay to say something. It's okay to teach your family member how to pace feed. And if they say something to you like, I didn't do this with my kid, that's fine. It's okay to teach them that. It's okay to teach them how about your baby.
It's an amazing new invention that I'm going to show you.
I mean, it's okay to teach them about your baby. They don't know your baby like you do. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. What about babies taking a bottle? Because that's what people freak out about. They're like, oh, I'm about to go back to work and my baby won't take this bottle.
That's really hard. So this is why sometimes it's a matter of finding the right bottle. Sometimes it's a matter of who's giving the bottle. Like some people say, oh, don't ever let the mother give the bottle, because if the breastfeeding parent gives the bottle, the baby's going to get confused. The baby's not going to take it, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes I've had babies that only took the bottle from their mother because that's who they feed with and that's who they trust with feeding. So it might be that the breastfeeding parent might need to actually give the bottle to see if the baby can take it or not. Sometimes they're just really struggling to try to coordinate bottle feeding and you need a little bit of time to kind of get it right. So start early. If you're going back to work at 6 weeks, start giving bottles by 3 weeks. Like not every feeding or anything like that, but you know, start at least introducing them so that we know way in advance if the baby's not going to take them or not. And get some help. Call a lactation consultant. They can help with that stuff. It's not just breastfeeding that they help with. They can help with all the stuff, all the feeds.
There was somebody in Patreon who was struggling with this, that she's going back to work and they were testing the bottles to see if they're just trying to get baby to take the bottle and the baby wouldn't. And she was kind of freaking out. And she like swung back through the thread to be like, oh, we figured it out. It works if I'm not in the room.
Yeah. Sometimes it's, yeah.
Sometimes they just don't want to know. Sometimes it helps baby to just, like, you're not there. Breast is not an option. Like, It's just, you're gone. So, I mean, you could try those different things and, you know, just try them. That's why you got to start early. So you can just try the different things that work.
Try different things. Try walking with them. Sometimes walking with them will distract them enough that you can get the bottle into them. Yeah, sometimes you just got to try different things. But good luck.
Oh, I also wanted to say, if you're talking, because a lot of people who are taking trips, if you're going away like for multiple days, people freak out like, oh, is the baby going to wean? Is the baby going to nurse again? Like when them, like they really worry about like ending that relationship. And just remember that breastfeeding is so much more than food. Like that, your breastfeeding is your whole relationship with them. Like that's what they see when they see you. That's likely the first thing they're going to want to do when they see you. Maybe. Right. They might be overstimulated. Don't freak out. But they will nurse again because that's what they do with you.
Yeah. I have a lot of people that ask about that. Are they going to wean if I go away? No. Nope.
No way. Nope.
Doubtful.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.